Janabalaba Kirivaradari Kope Janabalaba Kirivaradari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tiravannachari Yamuna Tiravannachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivaradari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivaradari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tiravannachari Yamuna Tiravannachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Janati Lilam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prevajakachaya Sutarata Dasi Srimad Visabhangre Sabhayatanana Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Grantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Premanandi Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharni Nivasesis Nivari Pastatyadi Satarni Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, the Hansa Guya Prayers. Chapter 4, text number 29. Yad, yan, Nyaruktang Vachasa Nyarupitang Yadyan Niruktang Vachasa Nirupitang Yadyan Niruktang Vachasa Nirupitang Diyakshabir Va Manasota Yasya Diyakshabir Va Manasota Yasya Diyakshabir Va Manasota Yasya Ma Bhut Sarupang Guna Rupang He Tat Tat Mabut Sarupang Guna Rupam He Tat Tat Mabut Sarupang Guna Rupam He Tat Tat Sa Vai Gunapaya Visarga Lakshana Sava Gunapaya Visarga Lakshana Sava Gunapaya Visarga Lakshana Yadyan Niruktang Vachasana Rupitang Tiyakshabir va manasota yasya Mabut swarupam guna rupam hi tat tat Sabai guna paya visarga lakshana Yadyan Niruktang Vachasana Rupitang Diyakshabir va manasota yasya Mabut sarupam guna rupam hi tat tat Sabai guna paya visarga lakshana Tam nani jani rupitam Tiyakshabir va manasota yasya Babut swarupam guna rupam hi tat tat Sabai guna paya visarga lakshana Yadyan niruktam vachasa nirupitam Tiyakshabir va manasota yasya Mabut sarupam guna rupam hi tat tat Sabai guna paya visarga lakshana Mataji Yadyan niruktam vachasa nirupitam Tiyakshabir va manasota yasya Mabut sarupam guna rupam hi tat tat Sabai guna pai visarga lakshana Yat yat whatever Niruktam expressed Vachasa, by words. Nirupitam, ascertained. Diya, by so-called meditation or intelligence. Akshabi, by the senses. Va, or. Manasa, by the mind. Uta, certainly. Yasya, of whom? Mabut, may not be. Sarupam, the actual form of the Lord. Gunarupam, consisting of the three qualities. He, indeed. Tat, tat, that. Sa, that supreme personality of Godhead. Vai, indeed. Guna apaya, the cause of the annihilation of everything made of the material modes of nature. Visarga, and the creation. Lakshana, appearing as. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anything expressed by material vibrations, anything ascertained by material intelligence, and anything experienced by the material senses or concocted within the material mind is but an effect of the modes of material nature, and therefore has nothing to do with the real nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pay attention. There's some very profound statements. The Supreme Lord is beyond the creation of this material world, for He is the source of the material qualities in creation. As the cause of all causes, He exists before the creation and after the creation. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. So before reading the purport, does any of you know any slokas that say something similar to this? Very good. What's the translation to that? Very good. You can teach Bhakti Shastri. Very good. Any other slokas? Translation? Very good. Anybody else? Very good. Amritam. Okay. I bet you know the translation. Okay. Very good. So this point is brought up many times throughout Srila Prabhupada's books, throughout the cream of the Vedic literature, the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. So purport was Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One who manufactures names, forms, qualities, or paraphernalia pertaining to the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot understand Him, since He is beyond the creation. The Supreme Lord is the creator of everything. And this means that he existed when there was no creation. In other words, his name, form, and qualities are not materially created entities. They are transcendental always. Therefore, by our material concoctions, vibrations, and thoughts, we cannot ascertain the Supreme Lord. This is explained in the verse, Ataksi Krishna Namadi Na Bhaved Grayam Indriyai. Prachetasa Daksha herein offered prayers under the transcendence, not to anyone within the material creation. Only fools and rascals think God a material creation. This is confirmed by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita. Avajananti mamudha manusim tanamasritam param bhavamajananto mamabhuta maheshvaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. Unquote. Therefore, one must receive knowledge from a person to whom the Lord has revealed himself. So now we're going to another point. Srila Prabhupada makes paragraph here. So from one point, that Krishna is beyond the creation, and so therefore his name, his fame, his pastimes, they're not of this creation. And now we are coming to a point that we must, to understand Krishna, we must approach a spiritual master. Therefore, one must receive knowledge from a person to whom the Lord has revealed himself, because Krishna is beyond the creation. He's beyond our minds. He's beyond our senses. He's beyond everything that we have experienced in this world. So we cannot understand him on our own. So here's explained how we can understand him. And then we cannot even understand him completely. Therefore, one must receive knowledge from a person to whom the Lord has revealed himself. That's the other point. That Krishna reveals himself to the devotee. So we approach the devotee who, the personality that Krishna has revealed himself to. There's no value in creating an imaginary name or form of the Lord. Sripad Sankaracharya was an impersonalist, but nevertheless he said, Narayana paro vyaktat. Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is not a person of the material world. We cannot assign Narayan a material designation, as the foolish attempt to do when they speak of Dharija Narayan, poor Narayan. Narayan is always transcendental, beyond this material creation. How can he become Dharija Narayan? Poverty is found within this material world. But in the spiritual world, there's no such thing as poverty. Therefore, the idea of Dharija Narayan is merely a concoction. So one point on this. I have a 19-year-old son. He's almost 20. When he was born, you know, we went to the astrologer. What's going to happen to him? Like all parents do, they think that their children are very special, and what's going to happen to my son? What is his future? They're very much interested in this. So one thing the astrologer said is that he will go into a 20-year period, and he will be in poverty. And when he went into this period is when I brought him to Sridhar Mayapur. And I put him in the Gurukula. So he's living in poverty. I mean, he has two dhotis. He doesn't even have a kurta. They don't wear sewn cloth. He has two dhotis, two chuddars. But he's living in opulence. Every day he gets up, chants the holy name, he worships the deity, serves a sannyasi. They go on parikrama around Vrindavan and beg. They don't bring food with them when they go on parikrama to Vrindavan. They simply, it's about 160 miles around Vrindavan, the full Vrindavan, not like around Govardhan Hill, that's about 14 miles. And around the Vrindavan village, or city as it is now, is about 7 miles. Around the whole area is about 160 miles. So they do it in about a month. And because everyone in Vrindavan's a devotee, they go wherever they are, all the students, they fan out and they beg. And whatever they receive from the householders in the Vrindavan area, which is, they're all devotees, so they get prasad, they beg for cooked food. Okay? Then they receive it, they don't touch it with their tongue, they bring it back, and they all share it. However much there is, they equally distribute to everybody. So this is poverty. But they're eating quite well. Sometimes they sometimes they get offered to invited when they're on parikrama to a feast. So if you're a devotee and your karma is such that you're going to be in poverty, you're not really in poverty. You're in great opulence. And then they live in this little village within Mayapur. Has anyone been to the Gurukula here? Yeah, a couple of people. They have like grass roofs, and they have a temple that's like with a grass roof that goes really high. Because if you have a grass roof, it has to be very steep so that when the rain falls, it falls off. If you have a flat grass roof, what's going to happen? It's just going to go through. So that's the reason why it's so steep. And it's open around the sides, and they have their deities on the altar now, mostly Shaligram Shilas of different types. Their Ishtadev is Lord Nisringadev. This is a Gurukula, okay? And it's very, very beautiful. Exquisite. It's like such taste. This Bhaktivedanta Purna Swami has such a aesthetic ability to design like a natural setting to foster the learning of the students. It's described that the atmosphere helps the students gain transcendental knowledge. So they have hand pumps. They get up early in the morning and they take their showers under a pump. There's a little bit of electricity there, but not much. They have their own cows. They grow about 80% of their own food. So what is the two things that ISKCON has struggled with intensely? They are doing quite well there. What are these two things? Gurukula and farm. These two things, they are... You can just go there and you can say, could you please come to where we are and duplicate what you're doing here? And hopefully eventually some graduates of that school and will be able to go out into the world and inspire others to do what they went through when they were young. Now the reason I took him there was because when I was living here in America, and I was looking at the older boys. My kid was like 11, 10, 12, around that age. I looked at the 17 and 18-year-olds in our community, and what were they doing? And when I saw what they're doing, I had to get out of there. Because what do the younger boys do? They look at the older boys. And they that's the goal. Whatever they're doing, that's what I want to do. I mean, they're tall and they're big and strong and, you know, whatever. So so they look at the older ones. So there wasn't such good examples. The culture of the outside world had infiltrated in. And so whatever, like fads or whatever tendencies the young people are doing on the outside, then the devotee children were doing, the older devotee children were doing also. I mean, the baggy pants and the, you know, it goes down and it's, I don't understand, he can't walk very well, but that is, you know, that was the fad and that was going on and so many other things too, the unmentionable. So I took him to Mayapur and put him in the Gurukula. And it was a sacrifice for my wife. So that sacrifice is there for his benefit. What happens when a young man gets separated from his mother and gets placed in a Gurukula? He grows up. He doesn't have anyone to cry to anymore. He has to, like, learn how to stand on his own two feet. He has help, but none of this sentimental help, like from the mother. He has, like, spiritual discipline, disciplinarians, but with care and affection. But they know what's good for the soul, and they inspire that in the students, and they become men. They instead of grabbing onto their sari of their mother, they grab onto their japa beads and onto the holy name, and then onto the advice from their teachers. And so therefore there's actually some hope with this system that Srila Prabhupada actually instructed all of us to do. All of the parents, he instructed them to give them to the Gurukula. Now, the Guru, ISKCON has been what is called trial and error in Prabhupada's times also. And whenever, just like a young child, he is crawling and then he gets enough strength and he stands up and then he falls down. And then he stands up and takes two steps, then falls down, and then three steps, and gradually he can run and jump and dance like a ballerina, like Jai Jagannath, eventually. Some of us can. Not all of us, because we're all individual. So this trial and error is there in the human, just when we grow up. And has there been an ISKCON? And so therefore, when Srila Prabhupada started ISKCON, it was a beginning. And in the beginning, there's stumbling, and there's falling, and there's mistakes, and there's, not that Srila Prabhupada had mistakes, but the people he dealt with had many, many mistakes. And they were coming from such, and they didn't have that training from the beginning of their lives. So they brought with them so much baggage from their past. And although they're in devotional service, they're not fully in devotional service. So there's a little mixture there with the three modes of material nature, which caused us to behave in many amazing ways that we would not consider to do ever again. Even in devotional service, we did so many things. It's like ISKCON has matured. Actually, you're very, very, very fortunate to be a little bit older and come in contact with ISKCON at a later date. Although it was exciting in the earlier days, we didn't know how to treat each other very nicely. And judge by the result. How many of the older, the devotees that were around in the earlier days, although they're still alive, are they here now? How many? Because we were offensive to each other. And this is what we should be all afraid of more than anything else in the whole world, is offending the Vaishnavas. Because what happens when we offend the Vaishnavas? We lose the taste for the holy name. And that is the only thing that will give us spiritual perfection in this day and age, is the holy name. Hadarnam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalodhan Steva, Nisteva, Nisteva, Gatir Nyata. So that is the most precious gift we have, and we should guard it with whatever facilities we have, so that we maintain this attraction for the holy name. Not only maintain it, but increase the attraction. So I have to finish the purport one of these days, don't I? Okay. As confirmed in the Vedas, yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha, the name, form, attributes, and paraphernalia of the Lord cannot be ascertained through a material dictionary. However, if one reaches the transcendental platform of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes well acquainted with everything material and spiritual. This is confirmed in another Vedic mantra, tameva viditva mrityum eti. If one can somehow or other, by the grace of the Lord, understand the transcendental position of the Lord, one becomes eternal. This is further confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Okay, someone else besides Jai Jagannath. What's 4.9? 4.9, anybody? Tektva deyam pundar janma naiti mam eti sorjana. Okay, it's very important. We need to revisit these slokas, because in the age of Kali, we need books. Why do we need books? Because we are forgetful. We forget everything in the age of Kali. We've of course forgotten Krishna, but personally, you know, I forget so many things. I have such a bad short-term memory. It's amazing. When I travel, Gopinath Prabhu, he can attest to this. I'm sure to leave something behind everywhere I go. You know, that's just like because of forgetfulness. It's conditioned nature. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Unquote. Simply by understanding of the Supreme Lord, one goes beyond birth, death, old age, and disease. Srila Sukadeva Goswami therefore advised Maharaj Parikshit in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.5. Tasmad bharata sarvatma bhagavan ishvaro hari shotavya kirtitavyascha smartavyas techachabhayam. Now I learned this sloka one time, but I've forgotten it. It's familiar to me, but now because I haven't reviewed it, I have to look at the book and read it. O descendant of King Bharat, one who desires to be free from all miseries, everybody in the material world, that's the goal of life, actually, is to become free from misery. That's why everything is going on in the material world, because you don't want to be miserable here. You don't want to be poor, so you go make money. You don't want to be lonely, so you go look for a wife. If you're smart, you go look for a brahmachari ashram and make friends with the other men. But if you're foolish, you go look for a wife. So therefore, that's what's going on here, is we're all trying to become free from miseries. Everything we do. O descendant of King Bharat, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear, glorify, and also remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Super Soul, the Controller, and the Savior from all miseries. So getting back to the shloka and to the storyline here, so many diversions, but diversions are good if they're Krishna conscious. We're talking about daksha. Daksha is speaking here. Now, if you look at the end of this chapter, it's like, what did Lord Vishnu appear to Daksha? And Daksha made some very beautiful prayers, full of so much meaning. But what was his realization, actually? You can have tattva, you can speak tattva, but rasa, a relationship with Krishna, that is something else. That's reserved for the pure devotees. Now, Daksha is not a pure devotee. And so Krishna, within his heart, he knew what Daksha wanted. He wanted sense gratification, and he wanted a lot of it. So he's a progenitor. And he was having some difficulty, you know, with the creation of the living entities, and so therefore he underwent austerities. And then Krishna appeared to him and he said these prayers. But what's his motive? What's his, you know, purpose? Is this creation, this of living entities, propagation? And so that's what he gets. He gets the potency for that. He doesn't get love for Krishna. So similarly, we can all be chanting our rounds every day. But what's going on? What's your motive? What is within your heart when you're chanting the holy names? That's what you'll get. Like Daksha got what he wanted. So similarly, that is why devotees come and go from the Hare Krishna movement. Because if you don't want Krishna, you want, there's Nadanam, there's Nadanam, and there's Nasundaram. There's also Danam, Janam, Sundaram. All right, you want wealth, Danam? Do you want a good situation here? You took birth in this world, and do you want a beautiful body? You go to the gym. Of course, you go to the gym and you get a little bit bigger body, and if you consider it beautiful, if it has some ripples and some, might, you know, attract somebody, but I don't know if that's beautiful or not. You get a little strength for a while, but guess what happens? You can't avoid it. It will disintegrate. If you lift weights, I know, because I went to the slaughterhouse of the material education in America, and I was given this body that is just like a stick. And it was just like, I was frustrated because I wanted a girlfriend. And I thought that if I had a strong, you know, well-built body, that I would get I'd be able to enjoy, you know, the opposite sex. That's the goal of life in America, basically, is to enjoy with the opposite sex. So I'm influenced because that's what I'm in. I'm in that atmosphere of America, and that's what's going on here. So we get influenced by that mentality. So I would lift weights, and I was able to put on about 20 pounds. But compared to everyone else, I was still pretty skinny, you know. And then it's time for summer, and you lose it. And you go back in June, you go on summer vacation, and then you go back in September, and I'm back to square one. The material world, you just don't get anywhere. You spin your wheels. This is the situation in the material world. You want to try to enjoy. It's like spinning your wheels. You never get anywhere. It's always like you're spinning your wheels in a car, but you see some, there's some goal in mind, but you can't get there. The goal is enjoyment. You want freedom from miseries. And you think that, oh, I can get a big bank balance, Oh, I get a beautiful wife. I get prestige. I get strength. I get fame. Or you get a beautiful voice so you can sing. Or so many varieties. What is that sloka? Vyavisai makabudhir ekehe kuru nandana bahu sakahyantascha buddhiyo vyavisainam. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one, to serve Krishna. Okay, then you can focus. But the intelligence of those who are irresolute, yes, I want Krishna, but I want a wife, I want money, I want fame, then you can't really go after it full-heartedly with all your energy, because you want fame, but then you want a wife, and at the same time you want a strong body, and you can't do anything properly, because you're spaced out, you're diverse, you have too many diverse desires, and you can't focus on one. But devotional service, it encompasses the consciousness of the sincere living entity. And the more one makes progress in spiritual life, more it envelops the consciousness. So in the beginning, it is like there's Krishna consciousness, and now there's wealth, there's the women, or the man, there's fame. And so sometimes devotees, they aspire to do kirtan, to become famous. Or they go out on book distribution to get their name on the newsletter, on the number one spot. Or they engage in devotional service, and they dance, not for the pleasure of the deity, but to impress the, I guess now the ladies are on the opposite side, and it used to be in the back when I was in Hawaii in the old days. So there's different ways people perform devotional service. Whereas someone may be performing devotional service, yes, to please Kishore Kishori, to distribute books, because they have such love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such attraction for the Holy Name, get such benefit and so much guidance from the Srimad Bhagavatam that has immensely benefited them in their lives, so they're very anxious to give this to others. So, side by side, two devotees are distributing books, but there's differences. There are some devotees that are quite fixed up, and some of them, it's amazing, they come to devotional service and they're fixed up from the very beginning. It's just like they just picked up where they left off, and they were very advanced in their previous lives. Whereas some of us, we kind of like our children, and we have other kind, we like to play around, and we get up in the morning and we chant japa, but it's not so focused, and we're interested in the material energy in various ways. But gradually, as stated in the Upadesamrita, this is my cheat sheet. When I was asked to give class, I was thinking, oh, what could I say? So sometimes you take some notes. I haven't looked at them yet, but I did take some notes here. And because I don't have that good memory. Shat Krishna Nama Charitari Sitapta Vidya. Does anyone know this sloka? I had forgotten it. It's in the Upadesamrita. Okay. Pito Patapta Rasanasya Narochika Nu. See, I know it a little bit. I can look at it Okay. Kintwadarad Anudinam Kalusai Vajusta. Swadvikramad Bhavati Tad Gadamula Hantri. Now, like Jai Jagannath, he has an excellent memory. He can, all of you know, he can quote slokas like the wind. And this is not to make him puffed up. He has been blessed by Krishna with this intelligence and memory. Okay, it is a gift of Krishna. All right, I don't have that. But I can take my iPad and I can copy and paste it and I can relate it to you just the same as he can. But he, of course, he has it in his memory and I don't. But still, I can give it. So whatever abilities we have, we utilize in Krishna's service, and Krishna is pleased with us. And if someone has something that we don't in devotional service, there's no reason to be envious, because you can get it also. Because you can please Krishna, and Krishna can give you that memory power. Krishna can give you that ability to dance. Krishna can, for him. Krishna can give you that ability to sing for him nicely. Krishna is the ability in man. And so we understand that it doesn't make any sense to be envious of someone in spiritual life that has something that we do not. We glorify them because they have been blessed by Krishna. So this sloka, the holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jhanas of avidya ignorance cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So if you have an infection, you get to the doctor quickly, and the doctor just gives you antibiotics. That's just, you don't even have to go to the doctor anymore, in India especially. I have this or that. Okay, antibiotics. There you go. So take your antibiotics, and for 10 days, three times a day, and then the infection gradually goes away. That's the nature of antibiotics. They work pretty good. Okay, they do. Of course, antibiotics do other things that aren't so good, but they do kill the infection. So the holy name, if it doesn't taste very good, keep chanting it. It's the medicine. Take it as medicine. Medicine that is good in Ayurveda is very bitter, but it's very healthy. So you take it because you care about your body. That's you, right? No, it's not you, but it's your vehicle that you're utilizing in devotional service. And if you're a materialist or a spiritualist, you're concerned about your body, because for a materialist, he thinks that's him, and for a spiritualist, it's his vehicle that he can utilize. Let's see. Komara acharat pragyo dharman bhagavatani ha durlabha manasam jadma tad apya dhruva mardadam. That although the body is temporary, it is meaningful, Prahlad Maharaj said. It is full of benefits, because by this human body, one can understand spiritual life if one places himself in the proper atmosphere. So by chanting Krishna's holy names, which are beyond because it's Krishna's name, and Krishna was here before the creation that existed. Krishna, the two syllables Krishna, that was there before any other word that we know in all the different varieties of languages. There's so many ways people can produce sounds in this world. The sound of Krishna is pure. It is transcendental. It is here before any other of the sounds that we, you know, associate with in the material world. And so therefore, it is full of potency. It has all the potency of Krishna himself, because he's non-different than his name. Abhinat vam namanamino. Non-different, Krishna and his name. So therefore, this process that Srila Prabhupada gave all of us, without Srila Prabhupada, you know, packing his bags from Vrindavan Dham and coming and undergoing dreaded austerity of not staying in the forest, not surrounding himself by fire, not putting himself in a cold river in the middle of winter, but staying in the Bowery of New York City, surrounded by drunks, sex mongers, drug addicts, you know, people with all kinds of weird ideas. He underwent this austerity, which is far beyond the austerity of going into the forest and the cold river and the putting your surrounding by fires in the middle of the summer and so on and so forth. Because he did this for us, we are here today, every one of us. And so therefore, we all will always, it's like a chain reaction. You know, Srila Prabhupada, of course, Krishna is the cause of all causes, you know, sarva karna karnam. But Srila Prabhupada was Krishna's instrument. It's like the first domino, and Krishna blew it. That's Srila Prabhupada. And from that domino, so many other dominoes, and it's going on. Now 50 years later almost, dominoes are still, devotees are being made, they're coming to the temple, they're getting up in the morning, they're chanting the holy name, they're shaving off their beards and their long hair and wearing sikkas and putting on tilak and chanting the holy name so sincerely on their japa beads with other people, in kirtan, going out and distributing books. This is now, it's not only in the temple, but there's devotees sincerely chanting in the holy names and on their japa beads and worshiping the deities and having kirtans with their families in their homes all over Chicago. This wasn't going on when Srila Prabhupada was here. It was just in the temple. If you weren't in the temple, you were blooped. That's what was going on, basically. There were some exceptions, but generally, if someone left the temple, they were out having illicit sex and intoxication. That's what was going on. And why did that happen? Because we didn't treat each other very nicely a lot of the time. If you don't treat the devotees properly, then you got to enjoy. That's the nature of all of us. And if you don't enjoy in relationship to Krishna by developing your, you know, ecstatic relationship with him, you're going to have to be forced, pushed, shoved out the door. And you're going to go looking for the opposite sex because that's what you want to enjoy. It's like the in relationship to the, you know, we have sewage systems in these bodies, and so we want to, you know, and relate. This is like low enjoyment in relation, and it produces bad smells. It's just like, and it's just like a flicker of a moment of an enjoyment, and you go through so much endeavor and so much struggle and so much pain because of it. Or you go after wealth and you think, oh, if instead of wearing a Seiko, if I have a Rolex, now I'm going to be happy. Not a stainless steel Rolex, pure gold. With diamonds for all the hours, you know, a diamond for the number one, and then a bigger diamond for the number two, you know, 1 carat, 2 carat, 3 carat, 4 carat, and then 12 carat. That's the watch I want. This is what you'll be forced to do if you don't be very careful and treat the devotees nicely. And one way to treat the devotees nicely is to be very understanding philosophically that whatever misery comes upon us is due to the sinful reactions of our past activities. And in devotional service, we're not pure, we're still getting some reactions from our past. So what's gonna, who are we going to get their reactions from? Of course, we're going to get the reactions from the material nature. It gets pretty cold in Chicago, especially this last winter, right? And we're going to get reactions from our own body and our own mind. But we're going to get reactions from other living entities, too. And if we're surrounded by devotees in a Hare Krishna temple, we're going to get some, we're not pure, we're going to get reactions from other living entities. And we should say, this is my fault. I did something in my past. And so, well, this person is an instrument in fulfilling my reaction. And don't hold it against him. And don't retaliate. That is the test. That is an advanced soul. No retaliation. Someone does something bad to you, you do something good to them. Not only no retaliation, but the opposite. And that will melt that devotee's heart, and he will no longer act of, you know, in such a way that he will, you know, do you harm. He will learn from you, and act, and you will teach him how to act properly, and then you'll be happy here. But if you retaliate, you take on the qualities of that person that did harm to you. But if you tolerate, you become purified. Okay, I think it's time. I've probably gone over. It's been 1 hour. It's pretty standard. See, the Prabhupada spoke for like 25 minutes generally, though. I see some people struggling a little bit. That's one of my struggles, too. I have a tendency to think, you know, I've been up since 2 o'clock in the morning, and by 8 o'clock, it's like time to take a nap. So in Mayapur, what I do, I go home and I turn on the radio and I cook. I cook my breakfast while I'm hearing the class. And in this way, I stay awake because I have that difficulty also. Okay? Any questions? Any comments? Does someone want to get up here and give a class after me? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Just in terms of the development of ISKCON, I'm wondering your perspective on the suitable format to follow very strictly the guidelines that Prabhupada gave us, at the same time be adaptive enough to conform to the needs of the time and circumstance.
Very good. Srila Prabhupada said, strict with yourself and lenient with others. So take, you know, imbibe this instruction, and you can see that there's every single living entity is individual. And they're on different levels of every single, it's there in everyone's heart. What's the sloka? Krishna's prema is there in everyone's heart. But it just has to be awakened by hearing and chanting. So everyone's on some level of spiritual awareness, everybody. So therefore, there's different, if someone's on a lower level, they're going to be distracted. You have to be understanding and encouraging and just kind of like fire the little spark of someone who is really materially contaminated. It's a little spark, but fan it, and that spark will grow. And then it will, you know, overcome. All their spiritual life will take off. And they'll forget about doing all this other stuff that they were interested in previously. So time, place, and circumstance, that is for the very intelligent to determine, you know, what is, okay, according to this time and this place and this, you have to be very intelligent. And so we should always consult others in determining what is the best thing to do now in this time, place, and circumstance, because that takes a lot of contemplation, a lot of intelligence. So that's where we consult. And, you know, maybe we are intelligent, but then we go to other people that are intelligent also. And we get together and we churn the nectar of trying to figure out what is the best way to spread Krishna consciousness at this particular time, in this particular place. Okay? Yes, Prabhu? Steady as a rock.
I was just remembering in Satsrup Maharaj's Prabhupada Lilamrita, he was saying, struggling alone. And then you were kind of saying, you know, Prabhupada was in the Bowery and you know, with the drunkards and everything. In one sense he was, but then Prabhupada said when he was in New York, he says, I'm not in New York, I'm in Vrindavan.
How do you
explain that, Prabhu?
Because someone who's spiritually elevated, as what's the Narayanak Padak Sarve, Nat Kutyastani Bibhipi, Swarga Apavarga, hell, heaven, doesn't matter, it's all the same. It's a state of consciousness. Because Prabhupada's Krishna conscious, Krishna is with him always. So therefore, it was austere. It was very cold, and the association was terrible. And the atmosphere was horrendous. But because he was Krishna conscious, he was above it. But at the same time, he had to deal with it. And that was, a botheration. But it didn't affect his consciousness. But it's kind of like a fly. You know, you get a fly, it's a bother, you just kind of go like that and it's gone. So Srila Prabhupada underwent that botheration for us. But he wasn't really bothered by it. Maybe slightly disturbed, like a pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada says, when you get pure, do you get attacked by sex desire? Sex desire will always be there, but when you're on an advanced platform, it's just like a fly. It comes and lands on you and just go like that. It's gone. We're always going to be tested in this mature world. There's no question. And we will always have to choose Krishna. And the pleasure we get in relationship to him over the pleasure we get in relationship to our senses. Okay? Any other questions? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Grantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Hare Krishna. Namaste.